Blog Talk Radio.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Timmy!
Actual physical contact!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Robert Seidelman, and I'd just like to say I spent the last 13 days away from the show. Let's see, Olympia, Seattle, beating the crap out of Mega Man 9 in one day. What the hell have you done with your life? Obviously more than me.
Yeah.
Try again.
Yes.
All right, moving on. Let's talk to the crazies around here, or our firecrackers, we should say. First of all, our M300, Jason Block.
Wow. There are so many things I could say, but it would probably get me knocked off the air, so I'll just leave it alone.
Who cares? This is a live show. Nobody cares about this show anyways, except for me, Nikki, and the rest of us.
Okay, fine. Then I'll tell you. Okay, then how did Michael Jackson die?
Oh,
no.
No.
All right, moving on. Next up, also from New York City, the cleaner, younger version of Jason Block, VRM.
Oh, that's a shot. I wanted to say this last week, but I didn't get the chance because it was late. So I'll say it now. Swerve!
And also we have from Toledo, Ohio, Step Boy Josh Henniger.
Thank you very much, and trust me, Seidelman, you aren't the only one who has been going on a gaming binge. I picked up a few games for my 360.
Such as?
Let's see now, Grid, Burnout Paradise, and Rock Band. I got Rock Band, woo, somebody shoot me. Yeah, I just rented two.
First of all, Burnout Paradise is the best game. You have to, like, spend all the money and get all the expansion packs. They're worth it. Trust me.
Okay.
The latest PC game I have is SWAT 4, and I'm playing that however it does get really annoying when you have, you're in my way, sir. You're standing in my spot, sir.
Anyway.
Yeah, I've seen that game. It's
sir,
annoying
and know what the hell I'm talking about. Then we have the new starting quarterback of the Dallas Mavericks, Dallas Cowboys typo.
Am I next in line for the Jessica Simpson ride then?
Yes.
Because I'll strap it on and I'll take it.
Yeah.
But knowing her lately, you'll be behind a lot of people.
I'll be behind something, all right.
Wow.
Phenomenal typo.
Hey, I want to live up to that parental advisory.
Yeah, parental discretion is advised. Wow.
Can we even do a show tonight? I mean, we're just having fun just bullshitting.
We do have some stuff to cover. That's for
real. Yeah, we do have some stuff to cover. All right, so let's continue. Then we have DJ.
Don't worry, ladies. I don't bite. My name ain't O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
Abraham Washington, sorry.
More of that later. Including the booing.
This is supposed to be a new talent initiative, but that's not talent, is it?
No.
Oh,
but
snap.
We'll talk more about that later. And then finally, we have the little sparkler that doesn't work for it.
At least I got a thicker skin than you.
That's dumb.
Don't come in the room for one insult against you. What do you call that? I call that
room 101.
Yeah, Forbes is actually in the third layer of room 101.
Yo.
AKA be thrown in by someone who can't take an insult league.
It's also the guy who also hosts the show. So why don't we just toss the, since we've already wasted about 6 minutes of the show, let's just toss to Nikki Heyman and let's talk about the Bash.
Oh, yes. The Bash was a lot of fun, and unfortunately you caught me completely off guard because I didn't even get my introduction. That's okay. I didn't have anything terribly important to say.
Oh,
I was
wait. You want, hold it, time out. You want an introduction? Fine. Here's your introduction. The lady who brought you this last week.
Wow,
Meredith Brooks. What?
That's more like it.
All right, go on.
Okay, sorry about that. Like I said, you caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I spent money on this pay-per-view. Yes, I had everybody over for the pay-per-view. And yes, Lindsay's knocking down my door saying I owe them too much money right now. Fuck you guys. Not you guys, Lindsay. Anyway, let's see. Where do I even want to start with this?
In order, I probably best.
Scramble match, if I remember, was first.
Yes, the scramble match was first. The points were set up to who wins and who is pinned first. And if I remember correctly, Dreamer, of course, retained, and Finley was the first one pinned. Nobody got it exactly right, but Trista, Forth, and I each get a point.
For having Dreamer win?
Two of us for Dreamer winning, and one of us for Finley getting pinned first.
Shall I pull up my laptop, or do you have the results?
I have the results in front of me. All I've got are the scores.
Okay. You don't have the results, or you do?
I'm going by what I remember.
Oh, okay. Then let me get the laptop. Hold on. Just
hold on. I'm already there.
Appreciate it. What else we
got? Next was the IC match, I think.
Oh, yes.
Match of the night.
Yes.
Title versus mask match. Excellent, excellent, excellent match to the point even Chris Jericho had to put Mysterio over on Twitter. We'll talk about that later. Very good surprise ending, or at least I was happily surprised. Everybody got a point except Trista, who took the I don't give a shit half point.
Okay.
Okay. What's next?
Fail match of the night, Dolph versus Kali. First fail match of the night.
I still haven't figured out why they put this on the card. I did take this as the who's getting the push match, and apparently that's where we're going because Ziggler pulled it off. Full point for me and Trista. Fire and VRM get their don't give a shit half a point, and Forth gets buckus. Next.
Tag match.
Unified tag team match, which we got all thrown a curveball. Some shenanigans in the backstage area, Teddy Long getting an earful from a couple of blonde haired Canadians. Edge complaining that he wasn't on the pay per view at all, and Jericho still hot about the fact that he lost to Mysterio. Teddy's like, I think I know how to shut them both up and send them out to fight the Colognes and Legacy.
And also, you're also adding the fact that also Vince McMahon was upset that he did nothing over the years, over, you know, his tenure.
His probation.
We will correct that down the line, too. So what do these two Canadians do? They walk out there, they make a big mess of this thing. Everybody gets a point because, shit.
They won.
Edge and Chris Jericho.
Edge and Chris Jericho took the unified tag belts off the Colognes and left Legacy in the lurch. Everybody gets a point.
Yeah.
By the way, that is a total ratings move. They want Edge and Jericho on all three brands. Plain and simple.
They deserve to be on all three brands.
I don't think Jericho minds.
Jericho is on, in my personal opinion, his best 2-year streak as a wrestler right now. I really believe that.
even better than the original Monday Night Jericho streak.
Oh, I agree. I think he is right. This may sound nuts, but I think he is. He hasn't even reached his peak yet. That's scary how good he is right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
Next.
Women's.
Let's see. The women's title match, which was a bit of a disappointment to me. But
personally, I have to play this for that match.
Screw your moves!
That Michelle barely has any. Anyway,
my point exactly.
Fourth is the only one who gets a full point because all the girls really didn't give a shit. And VRM, you got nothing.
Yeah, I knew in this.
And by the way, Michelle, I believe, took the belt, right?
So yes, Michelle now has the belt and is the first woman to have held that and the butterfly belt.
Oh.
A dubious honor.
Nothing.
Which officially devalues it officially devalues the women's championship.
Oh, I wasn't going to go there. Where are we? I think the next one was Cena and Miz.
No, World Heavyweight.
Okay. Now this was actually really this was an interesting match. I really enjoyed it. It was topsy turvy. It was a little swervy, and CM Punk is starting to really emphasize Punk. And with all the rumors swirling of whether or not Jeff Hardy's sticking around, really hurt Jeff Hardy's chances of anybody picking him. Everybody gets a point.
Well, and by the way, who is not loving this wonderful heel turn of Punk's? Isn't it just awesome how he's doing this?
Jeff Hardy fans in North Carolina?
There's this one mark on Pal Talk named Kirk Spencer, who... complete WWE mark, and he's not liking it.
Well, you know what? Too bad.
He's a mock.
Yes.
Here's what I consider that guy.
What an idiot you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless without prejudice. Moving on.
Cena Miz, fail match number two.
Yep.
I disagree. I really disagree. Miz did get some offense in. We were expecting this to turn into a full-out comedy match where Miz just chicken shits for 5 minutes and then Cena just wads him up and boots him all the way back to Parma. Miz did get some offense in. But again, don't bet against John Cena. Everybody gets a point. So now we go on to the abbreviated main event.
Yeah.
Because once again, I really think the guys realized that they didn't have enough time to put on these three individual matches. Yes, are part of a whole, but there wasn't enough time to do everything I bet that they had planned for these cards. So 6 minutes in, Hunter gets himself disqualified, but does me a huge favor by going to get a chair and bashing the shit out of Orton. For the Falls Count Anywhere match, they just said, screw it, you know, roll Orton back in the ring, pound the ever-living hell out of him with the chair and pins him. That way they can
actually
do something with
him. Now, the second fall was he'd already pounded the hell out of Orton, so he just pedigreed him on the outside, 1, 2, 3, and then loaded him up on the stretcher.
Right, but the stretcher part, they went ahead and if you'll pardon the expression, stretched. No, I know. Go ahead, fail me.
No.
Okay, that's fair. But lots of shenanigans at the ramp. Legacy getting involved despite the seeds being planted of a breakup of Legacy. Hunter planning ahead and hiding a sledgehammer under the ramp. It's just silly. It got silly. It got silly, and that was probably the only reason why Randy Orton won, because it got so ridiculous and unbelievable that was the only way it could end. That's probably
Orton won the match, but Trips won the segment.
Yes, indeed. While Orton was celebrating, Hunter got up and said, you know what, we got to send him home happy.
Yeah.
And Orton exploded the chamber, and I could smile again.
And
so,
once again... The marks on Pal Talk were bitching about Triple H using the heel tactic. It's Triple H! That's what he does!
Exactly. I mean, I don't understand this. A buddy of mine plays the SmackDown versus Raw games, and the game actually counts it as heelish if Triple H is swinging his sledgehammer. Bullshit. I've been doing house shows where people go bonkers for that damn hammer. So let's see.
That's a face move. So then we go.
Scores. Thank you, the scores.
Fine.
Final scores. Okay. Let's see. VRM, you are at the very bottom of the pile at 4.5. Fire, our newcomer, with 5. Fourth, you had 6. I did all right at 7.5. Trista almost pulled it off with 8. However, now I must pick up this belt because your winner and our new North American Wrestling Connection Fizzleweight Champion, the Texas Tornado Typho.
Woo-hoo! Congratulations.
And you know what, Typho? I did some addition.
What in the heck is going on in the background?
Not me.
Not me.
Obviously,
not
celebration
me.
Of my title win.
Oh,
my
by
fan.
The way, Typho, I did some addition. This is your 5th title win.
Wow.
Jesus,
so I'm a five time.
No. That means I want you to take a look right in front of you. And what do we have for him, Rich?
Yeah, take a look. It's a new
Wow.
Nice. But then again, the ultimate loser of this pay-per-view is me. Why? Because I didn't do the pick-ems for whatever reason. And that gets a boo-boo-boo-boo-boo.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
And
but
shit.
Oh, that just gets this.
I wasn't quite going for that, but that'll work.
Since we're continuing the game show trend, let's make a deal.
Well,
there was a big.
It would be more like deal or no deal.
No. This one's more like let's make a deal.
Well, all right. Well, fine. It's let's make a deal because our party host is Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon on Monday Night Raw comes out and says, "Yes, I bought back Raw from Donald Trump." And he says, "Wouldn't you like the money to be refunded tonight?" And the crowd says, "Yes." He says, "But I'm not going to do that." He said, and the crowd goes, boo. Then he
of course.
Says, but then he makes, in a sort of an underhanded way, the most important news of the week. He says that Don, which is sort of stupid, but okay, he said that Donald Trump made a trade, 5 superstars within each brand would go to a different one. And he said that they would be debuting starting tonight. He also said that the Raw celebrity host idea would be a good one. So our first host in a pretty expensive suit, Dave, as in Dave Bautista.
Yay!
Dave
Falls.
And by the way, I have to play something to the fine folks at WrestleCrap.
Whoa! Yes.
Why? Because whenever Batista makes a hilarious notion or anything whatsoever...
Oh, you're kidding me. They didn't. They forgot.
They forgot a Photoshop Batista thread.
Shame on them all.
Anyway.
Fourth, you're our Photoshop expert. What are you doing?
Well, they were kind of busy this week because they were crapping all over the Abraham Washington crap that was going on. But anyway, well, let's move on with the trade. We have the trade thing right in front of me, at least I think.
I'm getting there. Hopefully I'll get there. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, who's fastest on the browser?
Yes, fastest on the browser. Ooh, Rise and Fall of WCW DVD. We'll talk about that later on the show.
Okay, here we go. Here it is. The new members of Raw.
That's important. That's important. That's important for later on for Smack, so I don't think we can...
The new members of Raw are Gail Kim, Alicia Fox. Now, in the beginning, Dave said that he was going to make Randy Orton... he was just basically like, hey, I'm your party host. I'm your good time guy. I'm just going to make life fun. Randy Orton, being the fucking killjoy that he is, says...
That's the understatement of the year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are you here? I could come there with my two members of Legacy. Oh, I'm sorry. He basically said, why are you going to be here? I'm going to kick your ass. He says, if you come near me, I'll fire all three of you.
No, he didn't even look at them wrong. If he looked at him wrong, he'd fire all three of them because he had unlimited power! I had to do that.
That just sounds like something the Ultimate Warrior would have said.
Yes. So... And he said, well, I'm making a gauntlet match with three of the members of the trade. And I believe this was the most important thing of Raw this week, no? I'm asking, guys?
The Champions Tournament was secondary, I think.
Well, I mean you had MVP.
That wasn't important.
Well, you had MVP and Triple H, which was okay. I mean, MVP got some offense in.
The problem I have with that match, though, is that they made excuses for Triple H the whole time, and that's why I thought MVP was going to go over. If you're going to have Triple H go over, then why make MVP make him look like a fool by saying that Triple H is, like, at a quarter of his best or whatever, and he's got to be really hurting from last night? That didn't make any sense to me. They should have just left it alone if Triple H was going to win.
Well, it's Michael freaking Cole. What do you expect?
But then you have...
Vintage everything.
Yes.
Now...
Oh, my.
Nikki, when I called you Monday night...
Okay.
I said, we're in Bizarro World because the best wrestling match of Raw, believe it or not, was Cena versus The Miz.
Sorry. That match was their apology for what you guys have perceived was a squash match on Sunday night.
And it was awesome. It was great.
It was a good match.
It was an excellent match, and you know I have friends of mine who were like, oh, I hate The Miz. It was a sucky match. I was like, no, this match was the best match on Raw Monday night.
Uh-huh.
So Cena wins. You're gonna have Cena Triple H, and we'll get to that because we have Raw spoilers for next week.
We're not gonna spoil.
Okay, so
nope.
Raw has already been pre-taped, which we'll get into that later.
Well, everything's been pre-taped this week.
Yeah, everything has been pre-taped for next week because everybody is overseas.
They're headed to Australia.
They're already in Australia.
And Japan.
Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. And believe me, I wish they would have actually had a Raw from Japan, but that's just me.
Remember that SmackDown from 2005.
Yes!
Anyway, so later on in the night, Randy Orton faces member number one of the new Raw roster, Evan Bourne and his abs, according to Becky.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes. Okay.
Maybe I should have grabbed some sound bits from last week's show and just played them here. Nikki talked about Evan Bourne's abs.
Okay. Then, and after a very valiant effort, and you knew Randy Orton was going to win somehow, Evan Bourne lost. Then you had member number two.
Bulldog.
What?
Yeah.
Bulldog.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Lawler made it just as bad by going along with it.
Okay.
No, Lawler made it worse just by going along with it.
Then you had member number two, Jack Swagger, coming in. And doing the dick move of going into the ring, pushing Randy Orton around a little bit, and just standing outside the ring for the 10 count. You know? Mm. Making the impression. Then member number three was Mark Henry.
Somebody gonna get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Somebody gonna get their wig split.
All right, fine.
Hey, it's a great theme song.
Whatever. So then, hey, yes, white boy.
Hey!
Lucas
talking, Yankee.
Yeah, well, look, let me tell you something. I admit I have no soul, okay? Anyway, the fact is, okay, so Mark Henry comes in and tries to pull the same thing with Jack, you know, like Jack Swagger did.
You get to the five count and the greatest moment of the night.
Yes. He grabs the ref's hand and goes, and goes in and decides to squash Randy Orton like the bug that he is. And we have a full-on face turn.
I'm not convinced yet.
He got his biggest face pop of his career, though, that's for sure.
Because he squashed Randy Orton. And that's
he's
not
long overdue for a face turn, because I loved him as Sexual Chocolate Mark Henry. And he was kind of stale there, so, I mean, hey, it worked for me.
Sexual Chocolate Mark Henry had soul.
Yeah.
When he was shooting with Test, when he was really milking the World's Strongest Man gimmick, he was actually a face at the time. He was hanging with, I think, Farouk, who was taking bets on all the stuff he could do, like bending the frying pan and picking up the limo and all this other goofy crap. That intro, Pumping Iron intro from that time, I hope he goes back to it if he's going to be a face.
And also, we also have Mickie James going to fight Maurice, and that match was a clusterfuck. That match was terrible.
Well, what do you expect?
And then you had... And I loved the line. This is a line that I, going from WWE.com, by virtue of my massive talent and prodigious abilities, I now found myself in front of all of you hypocrites once again. Chris Jericho talking about being on Raw. Yes.
Yay.
I also like the line where Edge was stating, now that we're the unified tag team titles, that means we get to appear on every show. Unfortunately, that means we have to appear here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. So,
but yeah, let's talk about the.
We'll talk about
that to go into the rest of the 15-member trade, because ECW got Shelton Benjamin, Goldust, William Regal, and two twins who have no business in a ring.
Bree and Nikki Bella.
Yes.
But
no business on camera.
But we have what is known as the New Talent Initiative Part 2.
Yep, and I will take this one.
You're going to take this
also
one?
Also known as FTW.
Yeah, I am going to take this one.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Mm-hmm. New Talent Initiative was done a year ago by Theodore R. Long and brought us some great athletes in Evan Bourne, Jack Swagger. But unfortunately, it also brought us some guy who's a running joke.
DJ Gabriel?
With another new talent initiative finally here, we get to find out who's knocking on the door this year.
Yeah.
No, but overall, you had Tyson Kidd, you had DJ Gabriel, you did have a lot of people who did make an impact.
Who did make an impact, but some of them kind of got lost in the shuffle, like DJ Gabriel got lost in the shuffle. We haven't seen him on TV in a few months.
Right.
Now,
yeah,
I don't know what...
After the Braden Walker debacle, even on TV, in character, we can't always pick winners. Ain't
good point.
The truth, WWE.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, now let's talk about the New Talent Initiative. We have started off a match between one of the new people coming in, which was Shelton Benjamin. He's actually making a return to ECW because he got drafted to SmackDown in the last draft.
Mm-hmm.
2008 draft, excuse me. Then coming out to this J-pop music comes Yoshi Tatsu.
Who I will get... Hold on, I will tell you who that is. Yoshi Tatsu is Naofumi Yamamoto, who worked for New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
He has worked on a WWE developmental deal since September of 2008, and that's who he is.
Okay. Now, the match itself, well, let's just say it made for interesting TV. You had Shelton Benjamin doing this blatantly racist to me. Doing all these horrific Japanese stereotype things like bowing, you know, doing some sort of kung fu crane kick thing.
Karate Kid.
Sometimes I just want to find Ralph Macchio and deck him, but that's another reason for another day. Bowing to everybody, bowing to all four of the corner posts, acting like a sumo wrestler, speaking some faux Japanese, excuse me, but and for all of his troubles, he got a mafia kick upside the head for the 1-2-3.
Now, in Sheldon's defense, I'll have you know, if you ever pick up a Japanese comic book and you see anything in there with a black person, they will draw him like Al Jolson every single freaking time.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he's Bob Sapp.
Because he lives there and he will find you.
Excuse me, but who is Al Jolson?
Al Jolson is a stage actor.
What? Who is Al Jolson?
Leave!
What?
No. History.
Okay. Al Jolson was the guy who in the 1910s and 20s was famous for performing in blackface. Okay.
Oh.
Okay, he was the one who did the song, most famous, Mammy, How I Love You, How I Love You. Okay, and also did the first talking picture, moving picture called The Jazz Singer.
Jazz Singer, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew Jazz Singer.
Okay, so.
Okay, let's just move on. And then we have Abraham Washington.
It was an obvious takeoff, of course, of the President Obama, but his real name is Brian Josie. He has had a developmental deal against a September 08 from Ohio Valley. That's who he is. He was also Abraham Saddam, later Obama Washington, in OVW.
Huh.
Yep.
I don't mind the gimmick itself, but I think that they didn't give him any material to work with. The monologue.
This was horrible, horrible material, and only caused for one sound to be for that horrible material.
Mm-hmm. But you know what?
I think we might have quadded it.
I don't think we're bad. Like when he says, "Have you two always looked alike?" I thought that he had good delivery, he had good timing, but he had nothing to work with in what was written for him and in his guests. I mean,
yeah.
The Phillips twins are so wooden.
He got caught off the triple whammy to start off.
Yeah, so you really can't blame him totally, but he does need work.
If I can defend Abraham Washington for a second, he of the four guys they brought up this week, he's the only one who they changed, basically, gimmick-wise. He's not a talk show host. I've seen his FCW segments, and he's great, and that's not the role he needs to be in.
Okay.
He's the president of FCW, right, where he was going up against Fletcher Chase.
Right. He had a campaign going for him to be named general manager, a.k.a. president of FCW. He had a secret service, and he would hide behind them if someone tried to attack him. He was great in his role, and he's got great charisma. He can be a lot better than what you saw.
All right.
I agree.
Number three, Ms. Sheamus.
Yeah!
And he is a guy who Nikki knows pretty well.
He is a guy who does real. He's been doing dark matches since God knows how long. I think since 2007.
I've seen him in several of those dark matches, mostly with Jamie Noble. And
right.
He...
More recently with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
I tell you what, the boy's ready. He's got a great look, even if he's so white he's clear. but he's got a great look. He's decent on the mic. They were teasing a couple of ideas. They wanted to bring him to ECW, but they moved Finlay.
because that was some of the teases with his dark matches. He got on the microphone and he says, I'll show you an Irishman who really wants to fight. Where's Sinley? And then he would sit there and mangle Jamie Noble.
Yeah. And he also mangled this poor jobber. I mean, here is your jobber match. Sheamus against this guy.
By the way, that jobber, Oliver John, he was the former head of the Border Patrol in TNA back during the Fox Sportsnet days.
Wow. That's
really? Old school. That's going old school.
Ooh, yeah, that was him.
And by the way, Sheamus is now on the Raw tour, if I'm not mistaken, in the international tour. So he's there right now. I saw photos on WWE.com.
I told Nikki this, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday when we talked about ECW. I pretty much told her that Sheamus will get a belt by the end of the year. We'll get the ECW belt by the end of the year.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling they want to put it on a new guy. They'll put it on a fresh guy who will be loyal to the company. Sheamus has been loyal to the company. I think he's been there a second. And of all the developmental people from this batch.
He's been there since April of 07. So he has been working his ass off for 2 years. So, you know, most developmental people don't have the patience. He does.
And
I give him all the credit in the world for waiting.
I also give him credit for the fact that he stands out from the rest of the Generation Douche, Dr. Generica, that got on the roster. Hey, who looks like Randy Orton? Let's see if we can teach him how to wrestle.
Yeah. Generation Douche. That's funny.
I love that.
Somebody uses that to describe Lightspeed.
No, that's great. That's awesome. Generation Douche.
I also heard that as well, but from my friend Jamie, who watches wrestling off and on. She's not what you call a true fan. She's not a big fan, but she will see if it sounds good. I think she made the infamous reference to me that Kofi Kingston kind of looks like Bob Charlie from Super Punch-Out.
Oh, God. Anyway.
And that Vince is still in our head. But moving on. Finally, we have Tyler Rex, who we saw in a promo match against Zack Ryder. Everybody, 3, 2, 1.
Woo, 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 woo.
You know it.
You know it.
Sadly,
yes.
It is more over in the locker room than it is out there.
Yeah. And he had his first match on a somewhat higher plateau on Superstars. And since I can't watch Superstars, thank you, Comcast. Fuck you.
I was kind of busy at the time. Thank you, Jimmy.
Somebody tell me what happened in his first match.
I will do that. Hold on a minute.
He got Zach attacked.
Who Tyler Rex is, his real name is Gabriel Tuft.
Yep.
He's legitimately from California. He was trained at UPW by the late Mike Bell. He was signed in February of 08. And believe it or not, that was only just a year after he wrestled for the first time.
Damn.
Wow.
Ice cream!
Yeah, ice cream.
Who's got the ice cream truck? Damn it.
Over here.
Can I get the WWE Superstars bar?
Yeah. Zack Ryder defeated Tyler Rex with the Zack attack.
So they are going to be friends forever.
You know it.
Here's the deal.
Home run!
All right. All joking aside with all these guys, this is what WWE needs to do. You need to bring up at least 3 to 4 people a year from FCW and from OVW who they think are ready to come up. And put them on ECW and use ECW as the developmental Fed. I mean, does that make logical sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect logical sense.
I think that is what they're doing.
Well, I only wish that Caval would have been ready, low-key. That would have been – I know he's injured, but
If he would have been healthy, I would love to see him on ECW. Oh, that would be great.
Oh, he would have been there.
More Warrior references than your body can handle.
But
yeah. Question you, Hulk Hogan. Anyways, Paddley. Speaking of Warrior and his insanity.
Oh, no.
Is he at it again?
Yep, he asked. This former drug-fueled entertainer made reference to Michael Jackson by calling him a drug-fueled entertainer.
Yep. And since I've already thrown in Warrior, I can't do it again. However, I am going to do it again.
What did he do this time?
Ooh, he badmouthed. Oh, he pretty much pissed all over Michael Jackson's grave.
What did he say?
Ooh, calling him a drug through entertainer and that him dying was the best way out.
This may sound nuts, but I can't totally disagree with him.
You are nuts.
Fine. Call me that way.
Okay.
I thought it would be much worse than that.
What?
Yeah.
It could have been much worse than that.
True. But, I mean, we're not going to get this.
I don't know if he was saying it to try to be mean. Like, you know, he usually says things just to try to be controversial and mean. But, I mean, I don't totally agree with it, but hey.
But, hey, we'll see how it goes. Put it to you this way. Michael Jackson, we can get to it another point at another time, but I'm just saying to you right now, he's got two different ways of things are going, but we'll get to that later. I'm sorry.
All right, moving on. Let's see here. In the world of professional wrestling, as you know, sometimes you have to go viral in order to get the word out. I know for a fact that most independent organizations usually have a MySpace page to promote their shows, and more often than not, they have a website where you pay like about $5-$10 per month to see their show, when it's normally done like twice a month or every week. And some of them are even luckier enough to actually have a television deal with a cable network where they are being aired in various parts of the world, like NWA Anarchy and Championship Wrestling in Tennessee. But also there is a new form that's taking place when it comes to the world of professional wrestling, both in the independent scene and also in the big three in Ring of Honor, TNA, and the WWE. Isn't that right, Mr. Block?
Yeah. This is how we are getting what is known as unfiltered news or unfiltered spin, which is they're using the microblogging software Twitter. Now, for those who aren't on it, Twitter is a messaging site where you can basically tell whatever you're doing in 140 characters or less. I'm on Twitter. Nikki's on Twitter. I believe you are, Mr. Steinman, on Twitter as well.
Yes,
but
the last thing that I updated on it was me talking about what I did last weekend, but I digress.
But we are having a lot of professional wrestlers and divas putting themselves out there. Names that have been bandied about who are on Twitter right now are including, I know Evan Bourne's on there, Chris Jericho, Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, Shannon Moore, Hurricane Helms, Samoa Joe, Jeremy Borash, Taz. What some of the other divas you can name, Nikki?
Austin Kong, Roxy Laveau, Shelly Martinez. Let's see, who else I got on here? Raisha Saeed, Taylor Wilde, Austin Kong, if I didn't mention her earlier. The Bellas.
I think it would be kind of funny if Cody Deaner actually had a Twitter.
Yeah. No, but yeah.
He has a megaphone on his truck. Anyway.
But think of it this way. This is how people, I mean, what do you think of Twitter as a format for wrestlers to either express the way they feel. Oh, and by the way, Joey Styles, but he got spanked for using this the Twitter as a political forum, not himself.
Oh, my God!
Yes, he did. but what do you guys, what do you think of it as a form of getting news out there? Oh, and also, Lee Garcia's out there, too, as a Twitter.
Well, of course, Jason, you would know that. Mainly because I saw your, since you got some internet ink this past Sunday.
Yes, I did. I broke the story on PW Insider that Lillian Garcia is leaving WWE. I don't know if any, you guys knew that, right?
Yeah, I noticed your name on that article.
There you go. I'll take it. So, you know what I mean? So I mean, what do you guys think overall?
Good
riddance.
Well, it's the thing about Twitter is I hardly use it anymore. I think the main thing is it's there for what it is. You can only fit so much in like 144 letters or characters. It's more like an announcement thing to me. You know, do a brief announcement, maybe post a link to an actual blog or something where you could have the news or stuff like that. But to me personally, just Twitter for me is to use to just let people know what's going on in about 144 text things and stuff like that. For those who understood me, you're much better at it than I am.
Well, it's crazy because of the stuff that does come up through my Twitter.
Oh, and including John Morrison, too, who is also
just the fact that I've actually gotten responses from John Morrison.
Yes.
Which I dig, but he hasn't been on lately, so maybe the novelty wore off, so there may not be any more Twitter left in the Palace of Wisdom.
I think they do Facebook in the Palace of Wisdom.
I'll look into it, but I've seen all kinds of crazy stuff. Let me read you a couple things. First of all, the Hardys and Hurricane Helms and Shannon Moore are a bunch of doofuses and sit here and just Twitter to each other all day long. But they also pull stunts. The Hardys were at a Hooters one Saturday night.
It was Hurricane Helms, Shannon Moore, and Matt Hardy were at a Hooters.
Yeah. They Twittered out the number of this particular Hooters. And said, don't call this number and don't ask for us. I will read you this quote. Hilarity ensued as all 10 phone lines they had were busy for 15 minutes straight, so the manager had to unplug them all.
Nice.
So they pulled the rib off the
entire freaking Hooters.
Yes. And what they actually did was they did speak to fans. Which I think is kind of cool.
They talked to a few fans. Whoever got through did get to speak to them, but boy, I bet that manager was mad.
My bill's going up this month.
Yes. What I want to know is that overall, though, do you think? I mean, also, talk about the Chris Jericho Rey Mysterio one. I think you have that one up, don't you?
Actually, I still have it saved. As Jason was saying, it's unfiltered, and it's free of kayfabe. Because I can just hear the marks going, reading Chris Jericho praising Rey Mysterio and how happy he was working with him at the Bash. And I quote, Rey Mysterio is a real life superhero and an absolute pleasure to work with. That's why this program is going on, because Jericho and Mysterio love working together. And Jericho put Mysterio over after that amazing match at the Bash. Try saying that on TV. Confuse everybody.
He's okay for a hypocrite and a liar.
This is getting really confusing.
Thank you.
I need to drug one more day.
But what I really believe is that you're getting to a point where, I mean, you're going to have a lot of wrestlers just say what they mean, you know, corporate be damned. I don't
and
think...
And Yeah.
I don't think they care, to be honest.
Nope. And they're loving some of the responses they get.
Yeah, Jericho does. If Jericho gets fired from the WWE, he's already got a job if he's maybe doing season 2 of Redemption Song or something.
No, yeah. No, but seriously, though. I love this. I think this is great. I mean, there have been some funny stuff, and there's been some cool stuff out there. I don't know if they'll break news yet on Twitter, but at least you're getting a glimpse into who they are, not the people they are, not the characters who they are, you know?
Jeremy Borash does break news on Twitter.
Well...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because it's Jeremy Borash, where he tells his best JR impression of people who don't care.
Go to hell!
Very good.
What was that?
Go
to hell!
But yeah, I mean, all these guys are being goofed. I mean, Hurricane actually, you know, thanks everybody on Twitter for the positive response he got the other week when he decided to bust out the Hurricane gimmick again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? He did break news. He said he was going to do the Hurricane gimmick hours before. Am I right on that, Nikki? I think so.
I've got the only one I got was, if you're a true Helms fan, you must watch ECW tonight.
Yes.
And that was my assumption. Okay, I'm going to finally get to see the Hurricane after.
No, no, no. But then he said. No, but then, but if you remember, he also said SBTAHCB.
Yeah.
In that same Twitter.
Mine doesn't have that, and I've still got it saved on here.
But even so.
Whoa! 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 Whoa!
Whoa! What was that?
Sorry, Ric Flair wanted us to go to another topic.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, all right.
Sorry, I had to do that. Speaking of, WWE has a couple of new acquisitions. They just signed Shimmer wrestler Serena Deeb over this past week, considerably one of the better female wrestlers in the world today, even though she doesn't look like your typical diva.
Which means
she'll
last a year.
Well, true, and there's a... right. However, I wish that Vince would look past... I kind of wish John Laurinaitis would look past his cock and actually look at some real women wrestling, and that looks don't matter when it comes to women wrestling. But unfortunately, since a good percentage of the divas also have... relationships with the wrestlers, John Laurinaitis is caught in his own sword.
From what I've seen, Serena has taken care of a few things to become a little more diva-like.
How so?
Store-bought instead of off the rack?
Yes. and more than just what you think, because from what I've seen, she's also done something with her nose. It doesn't look quite the same as it used to.
Oh. Are we going to talk any TNA before the night's over?
Actually, there is one thing that there may be coming. Johnny Gargano to TNA.
Who?
What? I know Johnny Gargano. He wears SpongeBob SquarePants boxers when he wrestles. Oh, sorry.
Yep. he got a dark match with you know what I mean. He wrestled a dark match against Eric Young on the last set of the Impact tapings this month.
He's a guy out of Cleveland. He's very, very good on the mic. Very good on the mic. He's also a class 1 goofball. He came down and worked at American Lucha Corps last year and the year before. I did get to see him work. Unfortunately, the only picture that sticks out of my head is the fact that he was wearing SpongeBob boxers under his tights.
Yipe.
Oh, there's a joke to be made.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to do that because that's above me or below me or whatever. Take a look at the time. We have not that much time left. So I just want to point out special announcements to be made. Remember, July 24th is the 100th show, 2 hours, room 101. Are we still going to have those interviews, Nikki?
Yes, I will, and I'll verify that over the next few days. I'll talk to Dustin and Aaron and make sure they're both coming.
Cool, because we'll have a big discussion about the differences between independent wrestling and wrestling in WWE, TNA, and to a lesser extent, Ring of Honor. Also on that show, we will have a big room 101, and we will also finally have the death match between myself and Jason Block, where our brains will be bruised, battered, egos will be crushed, and in the end, somebody gets $25 of the other person's money.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine.
You on the questions.
Yeah. You got time. You got 3 weeks.
Yep.
You got 3 weeks. But remember also tomorrow is, of course, July 4th, which is also Independence Day. For those who are not, I don't know, I mean, Trista's not here, so it's not Canada Day. Happy Canada Day to Trista, which was July 1st, correct?
Yes.
According to this big calendar that I have in front of me.
Yes, July 1st was Canada Day.
Chris Jericho reminded us by naming every Canadian band he could think of.
Yes, exactly.
Let's see here also. I want to take a look at the show. I listened to the show last week all the way through. And some little jabs aside for me, thank you, Nikki. Even though
very
I was
well.
Playing Mega Man 9, there will be officially a ladies' night at least once every 1 or 2 months on the North American Wrestling Connection.
Awesome. Very cool.
Woo!
Very cool. Awesome.
Yay.
That's awesome. That's
or,
great.
As I like to dub it, Robert Saddleman finally starts to get a life night.
Hey. That works.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it does work, especially some other stuff that happened. But I'll leave that alone. Independence Day, guys. We have a couple minutes left. What are your plans, Jason?
I'm actually meeting a friend of mine in the city for I believe a late lunch. And
Gordon.
No, not Gordon. Someone else who just actually came down from Massachusetts, who I didn't know was coming, and she surprise called me and said, "My husband and my kids are in town. You want to come out and see us?" I was like, "Okay, so I'm going to do that." Of course, New York City has the best fireworks display in the known universe for this sort of thing, the Macy's
yeah.
fireworks display, which will be on NBC for those who don't watch it.
Which will also be on the Hudson River this year instead of the East.
That is right, but you know, I mean, it's like I will see what I will do, but it's pretty cool. It's on a weekend this year.
Yeah.
Awesome.
VRM, your plans?
I am going to try, emphasis on try, to drive down the New Jersey Turnpike to Liberty State Park to watch the fireworks on the Hudson River.
Nikki.
They've already done Red, White, and Boom here, which is their big fireworks thing. So I'm going to sleep in, and hopefully my phone will ring, and Bear and I are going to go catch a couple of movies and have a nice dinner and spend some time together.
I recommend Public Enemies. It's a good movie. Statboy?
I'll be going to see a Mudhens game on that night.
Oh, good for you.
Going to see a Mudhens game and watch the fireworks from both the stadium and the river, the Ottawa River, which is about 200 feet in the direction where I'm going to face.
Yeah. Tell Jamie Farr hi. Typho?
I will. He's up there this week.
I will be going to a yearly 4th of July family party where we have our own fireworks and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to be blowing some stuff up and... today I got my hair cut, and I now am the spitting image of Randy Orton, so I'm going to try and head punt somebody.
I like that. I like that. DJ?
The annual cookout at my grandparents' and the world-famous Toronto fireworks.
And fourth?
Probably just fireworks. I can't really think of anything really to do.
It's going to be a great mix for me. I'm going to play some SWAT 4, and I'm going to be watching the day-long marathon of Deadliest Catch on Discovery Channel. Hey, at least it gets me away from big Saturday night on GSN. And speaking of, I hate to do this. I know this is not the time, but I hate big Saturday night so much.
The games are fine. The in-betweens are not.
That's what I'm throwing in. Kegel Mikey Key, Generic Blonde, number 7,142, and Ross the fucking intern. Good night, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
The pants gnomes.